What's it going to be, Fed?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. In the last 2 or 3 years, almost every time the Federal Reserve meets, the writing has been all over the wall. Interest rate hike. But this time, we have a mystery. There is a true split among Fed governors about what to do when they meet this week. Some evidence suggests the economy is slowing and doesn't need an 18th rate hike in a row. Other signs point to indisputable inflation. Wall Street is sincerely perplexed. Friday was a crazy session, a lot of up and down. In the end, the Dow dropped just a fraction, 2 points. The Nasdaq fell 0.33%. It seemed like a couple of huge mergers were done deals, AT&T and SBC, Verizon with MCI. But a federal judge wants to give these unions a second look. Here's Steve Tripoli.
U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan wants documents by today supporting the government's blessing for the mergers. Sullivan says he doesn't have enough information to finalize the deals. The mergers have already been consummated. Bob Atkinson of Columbia University's Institute for Teleinformation says Sullivan can't change that, but he may be able to change other things.
The judge presumably could make some determinations that additional conditions might be needed to make the mergers in the public interest, as he describes it.
The four companies' competitors, public interest groups, and New York's attorney general are all lining up to tell the judge what's wrong with the mergers. Atkinson says this could spark a fight.
Realistically, if the judge decided to add or change the conditions, you can be sure that that decision would be appealed, and so the appellate process would take many, many years.
Judge Sullivan's decision to push the review caught many industry watchers by surprise. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
They were cautious at first, but this year the TV networks plunged into the online world. ABC so happy about offering shows for free, it's going to do something else. Lisa Napoli reports.
Forget the digital recorder or GASP, that dusty old VCR. Over the past few months, fans of Desperate Housewives and Lost flocked to the web to catch these shows when they missed them on the tube. That's enough to convince ABC to expand online offerings in the fall, although they're keeping mum about their exact plans. Mike Shields covers interactive media for Media Week.
The fact that they're doing it again, they're going to try and improve the experience, you know, that kind of indicates that something's going right here. Yeah, it definitely shows the changing face of network television.
And the free ad-supported web experiment found young people are the ones clamoring to watch online. ABC says the average age of the online viewer was 29 compared to the median age of the TV viewer, 46. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
ABC's parent Disney is raising prices at Disney World for the second time this year. The Orlando theme park costs $4 more than last week, $67 for a one-day pass. Disney prices have gone up 22% in the last 2 years. This is Marketplace. Hot Wheels are a huge part of Mattel's profits, but the cars haven't been selling so well. So Mattel is taking Hot Wheels to the tiny town of Speed, Kansas. Charlotte Baer tells us why.
With only 35 residents, Speed, Kansas can't put much of a dent in Mattel's sales goals. But the town's simplicity is exactly why the toy maker went full speed ahead with a Hot Wheels festival and ad campaign there. Toy specialist and Dartmouth professor Eric Johnson says Mattel is trying to bring customers back to a basic idea of fun.
It really is this kind of hometown nostalgic thing they are tapping back into.
Hot Wheels could use a jumpstart. Sales have slowed by more than 5% this year. Johnson says Mattel has reason to think this small town campaign could turn things around. A similar back to basics push has given Barbie sales a makeover. I'm Charlotte Baer for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Information available at Medtronic.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Last few weeks, we've been getting profit reports from just about every public company under the sun. Obviously, profits are a vital sign. But a couple of business groups are calling on companies to stop predicting how they'll do from quarter to quarter. I asked Newsweek's Alan Sloan, what's wrong with earnings forecasts?
In a lot of cases, when companies forecast their earnings, they pick this number out of God knows where, and the number then becomes the goal for the company for the next quarter. And we've seen all through the late 90s and into the early aughts the dangers of companies managing short-term, trying to meet the numbers that they've promised Wall Street. And God help a company if the earnings come in a penny or two a share below the number because the stock gets pummeled, there's all sorts of screaming, there are all sorts of negative stories. So companies will do almost anything to make the short-term number, even at the expense of the long-term benefit of the enterprise.
But companies have a choice about this, don't they? They can choose not to forecast their earnings, so why are they doing it?
All right. Some companies, like my employer, the Washington Post Company, have in fact for years not forecast their earnings. For a lot of other companies, though, they consider themselves on a treadmill where they feel having once started this, they have to keep doing it. Only a handful of companies really have stopped doing it publicly. I think that what this is an attempt to give all these companies political cover, because if everybody does something, or if a lot of companies do it, then your company will not get singled out for blame.
Who benefits from these companies predicting how they'll do the next quarter?
As far as I'm concerned, nobody benefits. The theory of all this is that solid, predictable, growing earnings are what Wall Street wants, and that a stock will fetch a premium price if its earnings are known and predictable in advance. I don't think that's necessarily true, but companies are trying to maximize the price of their stock, and many of them think they can do that by forecasting earnings and then beating the forecasts, or more likely, beating the forecasts by a penny or two. In the late 90s, I mean, it's got to be an incredible game, and people used to laugh at it. And then there was something called the whisper number, which was supposed to be the real number as opposed to the forecast number. And it went on and on and on. It went into endless iterations.
And how does this reflect sort of the short-term thinking on Wall Street?
The joke is on Wall Street is that long-term thinking is, what will I have for lunch tomorrow? I think some predictability is good. If the company's really going to have a problem, you ought to let people know. But the idea of providing guidance for every quarter and the entire year, it commits the company to things that maybe it would be better off not doing.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
Every now and then you meet a guy who's worked his...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.